Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Let's name some other gay artists. Gay pop artists. George Michael, Elton John. They are not gay pop for Trump supporters.
They are not.
But JoJo Siwa is gay pop for Trump supporters.
Yeah, I could get with you on that.
I think she needs to correct it a little bit.
Yeah, just have an asterisk in there. Yeah. But she's a demon.
She's a demon?
She's a demon. Set loose on the earth.
To lower the standards. I typed in gay conservative pop artists and Google AI said Ted Nugent.
That's good. I like that. You know what else I like?
What?
It's the Who Goes There podcast, episode 435. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
This is Ree.
And thank you for your kind review of 2 stars, whoever you are out there.
On Apple Podcasts.
On Apple Podcasts for too much table pounding. And
we got to rein in the monkey.
And making the same joke too many times. What?
Well... It's a shame because this show used to be
really
sophisticated.
Yeah,
before
my lord,
I only made a bingo card because of the jokes.
Yeah, what in the world?
And
fucking, take your 2-star and get out of here.
I am going to do all I can to never hit this table again.
I think you don't even last this episode.
Probably not.
There it is. And it reverberates through all of the microphones.
I know, it sounds dope.
Which is really fun.
Dude, it's because, look, you got that soundboard over there.
I do.
And when you got it, was all exciting and we don't use it. So
what do you mean? I use it all the time.
No. I'm saying the fucking buttons. The samples and shit.
Oh, yeah, no.
So I'm, you know, where's my fucking buzzer? I need to bring more stuff.
You know what we need?
Like a clown horn.
You know what we need? We need one of those buttons that will delete the last like 10 seconds so that we can just hit it when you say something outlandish.
Yeah.
And so just
it's constant.
Yeah. Just hit it.
3 times a minute.
Yep. Yeah.
So what else has been going on?
Not much, brother. How about you?
We're all cucked by work. How's work been for you, Jacob?
Busy. Lots of OT. Just a lot of yelling at court clerks because they're just like gaslighting the shit out of me. They actually think I'm an attorney now because I call them so much and they have like a nickname for me there. They like despise me.
Damn, I'm glad I asked. What?
No, I call because of they're rejecting. I file documents and mostly money judgments with courts and everyone has their own county. And I do San Bernardino. And then I always have to Google San Bernardino court and be like, that's why they fucking suck because it's like, a desert town fucking dump of a...
Whoa. San Bernardino listeners. We don't want to start
fuck
any
your
shit.
Courts, dude. Fuck, fuck Fontana Court. Fuck Barstow Court. Yeah,
he doesn't mean that. He's Joshua joking. Tree.
The only listener that we have is NorCal Mike that is anywhere near that area, dude.
We don't know that.
Yeah. Dude, no, their courts suck ass, dude. They fucking hear my voice. I swear to God, they recognize my number, too, and they probably don't pick up sometimes. It's that frustrating.
What's the fucking, like, the abbreviation for San Bernardino? SBD? SBD's calling you out. Your courts suck ass.
Wow.
But that's been my job
lately. No one cares if their courts suck ass. They're like over there like, yeah, our courts do suck ass.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm on hold for like 50 minutes and then I just get like the worst clerk imaginable and then they're like, we'll take down your number and call you back. And I have maybe like 25 times they've took down my number and never called me back. But, you know, that's just been my job, just calling and sorting out bullshit. So it's been mind numbing. Yeah.
In case you needed the same joke again, it's been.
And
fuck you.
I invented that. I made up memes.
Oh, yeah, you created memes.
In general.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, run-on jokes, callbacks, memes,
see,
all
this
me.
This is the thing. Like, when somebody points out the thing that they think we're doing, I'm going to do it more. I'm like...
This is like what the other listener was saying, the thing about the other thing, and we just kept fucking... The incel energy thing.
Oh, yeah!
And it's like, what the fuck, man? You, the only dude with kids has incel energy?
Definitely, dude. Definitely. Because I was making sense. Fun of some stupid-ass idiot band.
Yeah.
Ugh!
Oh, yeah, the vampire bros.
Yeah, the vampire bros with skulls on their fucking walls and shit, dude. As if I don't have skulls on the fucking wall, dude. He's
literally got skulls to his left. Skulls to his right.
Skulls everywhere, man. I know.
It's self-effacing humor. I'm
doing a bit. We're doing bits.
It's weird, man.
Just like screaming into the void here.
It's weird.
Maybe people who like horror movies would have stronger, you know,
constitutions.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Or just for gore. For trash
you
gore.
Know what, dude? You want an old school episode, you're going to get it tonight.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's a bad idea. I don't think I got it in me, man.
I have it in me, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, fellers.
Yes.
What you been watching?
What you buying?
What are you buying?
What are you buying? What are you selling? I was at Barron's. Have you ever been to that market?
Barron's Market?
Yes.
No, but I've been to Jimbo's. Naturally.
Is that what it says?
Yeah, literally the name of the store is Jimbo's.
I haven't been to Jimbo's.
... Naturally.
It's one of those natural markets, right? Yeah, yeah. I was in there with Sophia.
Of course.
You know, I got to mention that. And this dude comes up to us and he's all, "What are you buying?" Because he was special. And then we're like, "Oh, you know, just getting some lemon bars and this and this." And then he's all, "Oh, okay. Well, and then he left, and then he was with his mom, who's an elderly lady, and then he came back over. He's like, "What you buying?" It was fucking dope. He was a nice guy, but she kept getting embarrassed. The mom, and we're like, "Nah, it's cool. Like, this guy is fucking dope. We can watch him for a little bit, you know."
go do your shopping.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's the only thing a mom wants every once in a while, dude. Some fucking somebody to watch their dumbass kid,
right?
That's all I want every once in a while.
Yeah.
So can I have some goddamn dinner? Can I have some goddamn dinner in peace here? For fuck's sake.
Do you like lemon bars? That's fucking white, huh?
Lemon bars? Yeah. I like lemon bars.
They're fucking
good. What are you rocking? You rocking like a lemon curd with like a shortbread cookie on top?
I don't make that shit.
No, but is that what they got?
Yeah, basically.
Basically.
Basically like that.
Oh.
Wait, so what does that have to do with what movie you watched?
Nothing. It went from "What are you watching?" to "What you buying?" to "What are you buying? What you buying?"
Because right.
That dude was literally doing that, and it was dope. Here, you go first, man.
Oh, shit. All right. I continued Daredevil. I'm only halfway through season 2. So, you know, I'm new. I slowed down. I was all excited because I'm like, okay, this is it. This is my time of the year. I'm finally watching TV shows again. Mm-hmm. That lasts about 5 days. So now I'm just kind of stopped everything.
Gotcha.
Back to what? Diablo 4.
No, Monster Hunter. I'm juggling 5 Monster Hunter games right now.
What?
Yeah, I'm playing a bunch of Monster
Hunter. That's fucking weird, Jacob.
Yeah. That's just been my...
I hate to invoke your Christian name, but that's fucking weird, Jacob. That's crazy.
It's good. It's relaxing. It's just, you know, the grind, the cycle. It's such a easy hunt monsters, craft gear, and repeat. And I've been playing it five different versions.
This is the game that the cats have tits, right?
They don't have tits.
Do they have nice asses?
No.
No?
No.
What have I seen? There's cats.
There are cats, though. Palicos. Yeah.
They got tits, buddy. Don't they?
I'm going to look now for you.
They got fucking tits.
I'm going to take off his armor and look.
Look for the tits.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope they have tits.
I'm hoping now.
Or a dick. No, but I mean, cats have internal dicks, so you wouldn't see it anyway. So
yeah. Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You only see the sack.
That's about right.
You wanted the old show? The old show's back, motherfucker.
Yeah, talking about
that's what you're getting.
Cats' internal dicks.
Yeah, when was the last time we talked about fucking duck dicks,
dude? But we've talked about this.
They want it, dude. They want it. The listeners want it.
The one listener.
That's fine. We'll give it to her.
Don't give her the duck dick. Ducks are very aggressive.
They're too aggressive.
I don't want to be aggressive with this listener. Like,
yeah. Another thing I watched. I haven't finished it yet, but I started. I'm halfway through To Live and Die in L.A. William Friedkin.
To Live and Die in L.A. Yeah,
dude, every time I visit the Donovan, I missed it when he lived in L.A. And it was always like, To Live and Die in L.A.
Actually, speaking of which, I saw Donovan recently.
You went to Starlight, right?
I did.
How was it?
It was super fun. And he's always a gracious host whenever we see him at restaurants.
Yeah, dude. And he had mentioned that. And Sophia and I are going to go visit him, too.
We should all go.
We should. I'm sorry, Jacob.
No, you're good. Yeah. No, to Live and Die in L.A. Have you heard of this movie?
Have heard of the movie.
It's actually very, like, quintessential 80s, like, fucking hotshot cop, the special agents hunting down a counterfeiter. Rick Masters, played by Willem Dafoe. It's like his third or fourth role ever. Very young. William Peterson from Manhunter's in it.
John Turturro's in there.
Friedkin fucking?
It is good. It's like kind of, it's so over the top 80s shit, but at the same, and with like some incredible chase sequences. But at the same time, it feels like very thoroughly like research. Apparently they did a lot of research on like counterfeit U.S. Secret Services and shit.
It's a crazy ass cast, dude. Fuck?
It is fun as hell, and it's incredibly fast paced because it's just like constant foot chases, car chases, and Willem Dafoe acting some like evil fucking counterfeit villain. And yeah, good movie, crazy soundtrack. I recommend. Haven't finished it.
CSI Manhunter, dude. Like you said,
there you go. Yeah. The other one I watched is this documentary. It's one of like the oldest movies I've owned in a while, and I downloaded it. I never got around to watching until now. It's just been sitting on my computer. The documentary Tickled. Have you heard of this? It's about this New Zealand.
Is it about my fucking uncle? Is it about my creepy uncle?
There's definitely a creepy guy at the center of the story, but it's a New Zealand journalist reporter who does weird pieces in like local stories, and he finds this thing like local tickling competition, and he wants to do a story, so he reaches out to the owners of this company that hold these, and then the journalist is gay, and he said, no, we don't want to affiliate with you, our sport is it's not homosexual in any way, we don't want to be affiliated with you. And he's like, what the fuck?
And yet it's super homosexual, I bet.
In a sense. And so he's like, okay, well, now I'm definitely going to look into this, and decides with his producer to make a whole documentary. And it turns into this deep, dark black hole that they go through of trying to like find out who's doing this. And it's like a decades long, like spanning thing of this guy who's like into this tickling fetish where he does a lot of like the equivalent of like revenge porn, where like he gets these people and ropes them into doing these tickling videos, pays them, and then like holds it against them because he's into this, like these power trips and these controls, and no one knows his identity and where the money's coming from, and it's fucking weird. And it's one of those like you will never expect where the shit goes, but it's really cool to see kind of like.
I bet this, some people get tickled.
What the? There's fuck? A lot of that. Yeah, very interesting documentary. Highly recommend. It's kind of like in the end, it's like, is this really much of a story? But it's just so fascinating that this journalist really, it shows like what, like the power of journalism and like all the shit you can do and the resources and getting to the bottom of it. And who would have known, like he could have just like moved on. And if he didn't just look into this person, who would have known there was like a huge, gigantic story that's like decades long.
They're like, it's definitely not weird and homosexual.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it always starts, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's how it starts. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned the, your uncle.
What? Like,
the thing is, man, it's a bummer when your dad is everyone else's weird uncle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Your dad was... Yeah, yeah. Your dad was something else.
See, and that listener, that's the thing, man. The person who gave that review...
Like, you know, first off, fuck them.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Did you know about my dad, dude?
Did you know about the trauma?
Did you know about the trauma, dude? Like, don't you... You should be a little more conscientious about what you say to people.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't want people to...
Relapse,
do something. You'd be responsible. You.
Damn.
In fact,
dude, I have no accountability.
Rhett just literally poured himself a shot of bourbon. Thank you. You've done this. You did this. Thank you for that 2-star review, idiot.
idiot.
And the last movie I watched, and I watched it twice in 2 days. I was so impressed with it. Steven Soderbergh's new film, Black Bag.
Oh wow!
Because it's a spy thriller wrapped around. It's a marriage drama wrapped in a spy thriller.
Oh, I heard that thing was good.
It's like Mr. and Mrs. Smith without the sex and action.
Yes, zero action. The whole thing is a spy thriller with no action. It's all dialogue, and the writing is so fucking good.
Never mind.
that's what I thought. But I've heard it's great.
Dude, the movie is bookended by two really extended like dialogue sequences at a dinner table, and I will say like the way the scene is lit and the set decoration and just
it's so lit.
Yeah,
it's so fucking lit.
No, when you see it, you're like, damn, this shit's lit, like literally lit. Yeah, man. It's good.
It's literally and figuratively lit.
And it's a story because it addresses something that you wouldn't think about in like a spy community. Not that it's like real, like it's
loyalty, grounded, right?
Grounded in reality, but the fact that all of these spies working for this British intelligence agency, they have issues with monogamy because it's so easy to cheat because everything they say is like, where are you going? I'm going to disappear for a week.
It's all subterfuge constantly.
Yeah, it's all, yeah. And they say
compartmentalization, right?
Yep, it's black bag is what they say when it's confidential. So people can just cheat. It's so easy to cheat. And the center of the story is a couple, Kate Blanchett and Michael Fassbender, who are monogamous and they have a strong marriage, or at least that's what you think. You
don't, idiots!
That's the whole story. And you don't know if that's true or not. And the very beginning, in the opening, is shot like it's a fucking David Fincher film. It's so good. It's a one or two. And it's just him going through the club, and he gets his mission.
That's a gimmick, dude.
I know. Fuck that. Yeah. Fuck adolescence, dude.
It's always a gimmick, dude. Every time. Yeah. There's no exceptions.
He gets a mission, and it says, these five people, including your wife, are all suspects of leaking this thing that could kill hundreds of thousands of people, and you have to find who it is and take them out. Are you willing to take out your wife? And he says, yes. And you don't know where his loyalty, you know, lays, and you don't even know if it's his wife or not, but... When you get to the ending, though, I wanted to rewatch it immediately. Because
so he's willing to kill his wife, but not cheat on her.
Yeah, but, well, you'll see, yeah.
Good
but
man.
It's good, man. It's good writing. It's fucking really, I was really impressed.
You got to have boundaries, dude.
Yeah, man. You got to have
morals, scruples.
No, but
Pierce Brosnan's in it as the director.
Steven Soderbergh is on a, you know, he's like such a chameleon. Earlier this year, he did Presence.
Super inventive. Wait,
can you not do that voice, dude? Because that's like the third time you've done it in this episode.
It makes me feel more comfortable with saying things. No, but did you see Presence?
No.
I think I mentioned it briefly, but it was like a cool style, a cool technical exercise.
Yeah.
But, dude, not only that, but David Koep, how do you, I don't know.
Yeah.
He
wrote it, yeah.
Koep. It's K-O-E-P-P. He wrote a lot of shit.
Yeah.
A lot of it. Globalist. But he also
they're making the frogs gay.
But he did the first Spider-Man. He did Jurassic Park. He's done so much shit. But he did both of those movies, too.
Both of these?
Both of them.
Damn.
I didn't say both the first time, but I'm doing it now.
Hey, have you ever heard of this dick?
This dick? With the D, with the K, with the Q? I don't know. Like, what am I supposed to say? What's this dick?
In your mouth.
Ah. Oh, dude. You fell for it.
I feel like you're going to really, like, get some bad reviews.
Or some more Patreon support.
That's what I mean.
Who can say, dude?
It's hard to tell.
That was it. That's all I watched. That and just a lot of Monster Hunter. A lot of video games.
That's crazy. Speaking of video games, I have been playing an ungodly amount of Call of Duty the last couple weeks. I've put in 137 hours in 2 weeks.
Damn, that's a movie.
Something is fucking wrong. Something is fucking wrong with me, dude.
They're making you into an MKUltra mind slave.
They might have. And you know what I did today, dude, that makes me ashamed?
Huh.
I bought a skin.
Oh, yeah, I've done that.
And do you know what it is of?
What?
Michael Myers, dude.
Silent fucking Bob.
Oh, yeah, they did the
jigsaw. That's way worse than the joke I said.
They released a Silent Bob skin.
Yeah, they did a Cheech and Chong a couple years ago,
and
too.
I saw it, and I was like, well, there goes $20.
I bought skins. I have no problem. No shame. I buy a lot of game skins. Which are you just playing, like the free to play?
No, man, I'm fully in. I spent the money on BO6 Hummy.
Oh shit! Damn.
Dude. Yeah, dude.
You have to.
Is that your first skin
for Call of Duty?
But you've had many skins for Fortnite
in my
right?
life, dude.
Many skins in your life.
Yeah. No, Fortnite. Yeah, dude.
Shedding skin, dude.
I'm spiraling out, God. Dude. Oh, a tool joke, dude. We've never done that before. Fuck.
It is. I think it's funny. I like it. I almost wore a tool shirt tonight, like for this movie. You know.
Oh, fuck off.
That's why I didn't do it.
All right. Cool.
What else for you?
Okay. What
they got some new gold watching? Gold people fucking documentary show.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Continuing Gold Rush. Yeah, we're almost.
There's a new one on Netflix though. Some gold fuckers. You got to watch it. It's got gold.
Well, probably. Yeah. Is it on Netflix? I'll watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're nearing the end of the season. Winter is starting to take hold, and the ground is starting to freeze a little bit. So they have to make sure that they run their pay dirt through their equipment to get maximum gold.
The gold
before it freezes. Fuck, it's important. Yeah. Dude.
When's the last time you watched Austin Powers in Goldmember?
Never.
Damn.
That's not true. We saw it together, actually.
I think we did.
And I think, wow. In fact, I was thinking of theater, yeah. I was thinking about you the other day because we went to go watch the Minecraft movie.
Oh, fuck. There you go. You got to talk about
holy.
That,
man.
Oh, my God.
Can I tell you? So it is simultaneously the worst movie I've ever seen, but also kind of endearing because all of the children loved it.
Yeah.
Like when fucking Jack Black goes, "I'm a Steve." The kids lost their fucking minds, and I kind of like that for them.
Yeah, they're calling it the new Rocky Horror Picture for
yeah. There's
for
kids. People like throwing popcorn everywhere, and
yeah, there's certain parts in the movie where people will just fucking throw a slushie at a $20,000 silver screen and shit. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's offensive.
God damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had posted a couple articles about that.
Yeah.
We're just fucking trashing the theaters, right?
Yeah, there's people that they actually are posting cops inside of them. All the managers, people,
so
that,
they can shoot the kids.
Yeah,
kill the children.
They will like lock the doors and tell them like you're not leaving until everyone cleans up every fucking thing in here now. Like they will pause the pausing the movie right when like shit happens. They're like, okay, everyone's done. Like we warned you, like not to do it. You did it. Everyone's fucking gone. You know?
I love that.
And they don't care because they already trashed the theater.
I want to fucking seek out one of those screenings, and so I can watch that happen because that would bring me joy. This sparks joy.
I think it's probably too late for that now.
Yeah,
but opening weekend, you probably could have got that.
Fucking 157 million domestic.
Crazy shit, man.
It was projected to make 55 million the entire weekend, and it cleared that the first day.
I put hundreds of hours into Minecraft in like high school and middle school. That shit was, you know.
It's litty.
There's kids that don't think that the game is that old. They're like, yeah, it came out 2018. I was like, what?
No. Not the Java version,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, right? Yeah, JavaScript version.
What was I saying before Minecraft? What the fuck was I? Oh, another old joke, dude. Me not remembering things. Oh, dude, fuck.
Well, dude, like, all words are made up of the same letters.
Life feeds on life.
Yeah, dude, everything's an anagram, dude.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, wait a minute. You were saying something before. You said, speaking of blah, 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 I went and saw Minecraft the other day.
Fuck, I don't even know, dude.
Me either.
I was talking about Call of Duty.
Yep.
And then watching, Gold Rush. Fuckers. Gold Rush. Mm-hmm. And then why did I go?
Gold member.
Oh, that's what it was. Thank you.
Thanks.
So we were in the theater.
That's talent.
And Ronnie kept looking over to make sure that the kids were good, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember we went to go watch Austin Powers with your then girlfriend, Jennifer, who was like, you were sitting next to me. And then Jennifer was like over two seats with her friend. And she kept like looking over at you like the entire movie. And you were like, what the fuck? Stop looking at me. And she would like stop for like 10 seconds. And then she would do it again. And you're like, stop looking over here.
No way.
Yeah, dude. And it sparked that memory so like perfectly that I was like, I was about to tell her like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you looking over there?
Yeah, you wanted to join in.
Yeah.
Get all fucking misogynistic. Just start yelling at all the women in the theater. The fuck are you doing? Wow. What was the context?
She, I think, did I say her name?
I think you did.
Okay. I'm not going to say her last name. But I think she was
different now.
I think you guys had like just gotten into a fight before the movie.
Frequently.
And, yeah. Shocker. And like, she was trying to be like, let's solve this during the movie.
You know, I miss that. I'm always the one who has to do that now.
You know? All right. Well, that's that.
Thanks for bringing that up.
That's sorry, man. Shit. I appreciate that you are taking that in stride.
Dude, no, it was funny. I don't remember that.
What you watching?
I watched a movie that Jacob mentioned a while back called Dinner in America.
Is this your first time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. What else did this director do?
I'm not familiar with any of his work, but he does have a new movie coming out with the same dude. What the fuck's his name?
Kyle Gallner,
yeah. Another film coming out. But I never recognize his work.
Yeah, just like you said, this like flew under the radar during the pandemic.
It was supposed to come out in theaters, yeah.
And I didn't love it, but I thought it was pretty damn charming.
It's a little cute, yeah, it's cute, for sure.
And like the score and the, you can tell, I wasn't surprised at the end that it was edited and written and directed by the same dude. Because it's very much, like it flows a certain way, and it's very idiosyncratic, mm-hmm. And it's like, this makes sense that the same dude was responsible for how it flowed.
Yeah,
and the score is kind of like fucking a weird juxtaposition type thing. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed it though, and Kyle Gallner is fucking having a blast.
Yeah, and there's moments where it feels very heightened and stuff, and very absurd. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, almost like Napoleon Dynamite-ish, but then yeah, it also feels like a classic, like early 2000s, like indie romance comedy, you know, and shit, yeah.
With a little bit of a harder edge sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the voice you do when, let's see. What are you doing with that voice? Because, like,
it's not selective.
You're being serious, but at the same time, you want to have, like, a little bit of, like, this ambiguation from the character.
Dude, you look, man, I sound like a fucking ass talking about anything, you know?
Man, I don't need you to explain that. I get what you're doing.
No. Waiting for Guffman, dude.
Oh,
so woo. Good.
Woo. I really want to see it because I saw Best in Show for the first time. What's the name? Christopher Guest. It's my first Christopher Guest movie. Mm. And I've been wanting to watch the rest of his shit. And that's the next one, yeah.
Dude.
And then you have to watch A Mighty Wind. Don't skip out on A Mighty Wind.
Well, because you had mentioned that one and I wanted to watch that. But it's about folk.
Folk music, yeah.
And then the thing was, I had recently watched Complete Unknown. And Sophia didn't watch it with me, so I was like, "Before we do that one, you should watch the fucking Bob Dylan thing first, because for some reason I think she'll like will get the jokes better." No, but anyway, like we watched Waiting for Guffman, and you know, Christopher Guest, like his shit, like I hadn't seen it, and that shit that's my favorite for him. That shit was hilarious, dude. And at first, like you know, because it moves slow, like it starts, and then like it gets like Fred Willard's
fucking crazy, man.
Dude, his fuck, and you can tell where they're improvising. Like, he is so fucking silly, dude. He has a scene with some shit that he ad-libs with a scarf that just like, where it's about 15 minutes into the movie. After that, we were just like fucking on fire laughing the rest of the time because he just broke it. It was like, God damn that. We rewound the scene like 3 times because it was so fucking silly.
Good.
It's good shit. But, and Christopher Guest himself is like a total chameleon.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Chameleon. So
when I found out what he looks like, I rewinded Best in Show and I was like, he was that fucking guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, he's the fucking bloodhound doggy.
Yeah.
Yep. Complete Unknown. Okay, so look, fucking, I was talking Chalamet, when he fucking got the thing at Best at, the Screen Actors Guild for Best Actor.
Mm-hmm.
Remember where he's like fucking trashing
Pursuit of Greatness.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's trashing like the his own movie a little bit. Like he's like, it's kind of a tired genre, you know, it could be. And I was like, yeah, fucking he knows. And that's what kind of kept me away. Like, we've seen a lot of the music biopics and all that. It's one of the better ones I've seen. So I totally agree with King Hans on this one.
Didn't he say he put fucking like 5 years into it or something?
He did, and he learned guitar, and he does this singing. He's good, but the rest of the movie is crafted extremely well. And I have to say, like, fucking dude, I knew a little bit about Woody Guthrie. I knew about how it was protest music. I did not know what fucking close-minded people, folk people were. They were pissed that he was going to go electric.
That's the main part of the story.
Did they have the "This Machine Kills Fascist" guitar, dude?
Oh, that's Author and Punisher, dude. That's what his drone machines say.
Damn, no wonder I hate his guts.
Oh, come on, dude. No, but, well, how do you feel about Woody Guthrie and all that?
I'm good with it.
This land is your land?
Yeah, just I do not like Mr. Dylan.
Nah, dude, it gave me...
second best Dylan.
I never disliked the guy. I don't think he's a great singer, but I always... My mom fucking raised me to appreciate the lyrics and gave me some context, but I didn't understand, the movie really made me understand he's just continually trying to get free of whatever's trying to trap. And then it was like folk was the trap because these people are telling him, like, dude, he goes to a fucking folk festival and plugs in the guitar, and they're fucking half the audience is screaming at him, the other half is cheering, and then like they're trying to unplug him, like folk people who are like anti fucking totalitarian government people are being completely like trying to control what he's doing on the stage, and it's like, wow, this shit just keeps going like this. But dude, the movie kind of bowled me up. Like, I would have much preferred that to fucking win Best Picture than Anora. And fair. Well, dude, I would have never fucking thought I'd say that. It was, and James Mangold after Dial of Destiny.
Yeah.
Well, no, man. Like, well, you know, like he did Logan. He did Ford versus Ferrari. He did that one with Viggo Mortensen and the fucking horse.
Hidalgo?
Yeah.
He did that?
I think so. I don't know. I think he did do Hidalgo.
Damn.
Did he?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll never seen it, actually.
Did he? I don't know. Did he? I don't know.
He did 310 to Yuma. I know he did that one.
That is dope.
310 to Yuma is fucking rad.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Russell Crowe?
Mm-hmm.
Christian Bale?
Mm-hmm.
Remake?
That's right.
Anyway, it was pretty fucking good. Awakenings. Have you ever seen that movie?
Never heard of it.
Robin Williams and Robert De Niro, based on a true story. About it's a research scientist who gets a job in spite of himself, helping out a ward of patients that have this kind of degenerative dementia. And he ends up, because he's kind of an outside of the box thinker, like these people have been near comatose for 5 or 10 years, some of them, and they spontaneously come out of it for one summer, but they can't like maintain the effects of it. It's a great fucking movie. I'd seen it as a kid, and it's on Netflix right now. It's one of Sophia's favorite movies.
Okay.
Sophia and I went and saw Princess Mononoke in IMAX.
I was supposed to see it that weekend, too, but
that
couldn't get around to it.
It was fucking great.
There's a little controversy with the art style the last, like, week or two.
Yeah, oh, I thought you were going to mention something else. Yeah, that was a... Go on.
Go on.
Well, so Studio Ghibli AI art thing kind of hit the streets, right?
Yeah.
And he, my man, lost his fucking mind.
Yeah.
Which, rightfully so.
Well, the thing is, look, I respect Miyazaki, but I think AI is way better than him.
No, I'm just kidding. They got
stupid.
Just then
can you imagine fucking saying? No, but what were you gonna say?
No, here? I'm just it's fun. Yeah, I don't support it, but I'm also like I've dabbled in it a lot of it. You know, just in the privacy of my own bedroom. You know, have you seen fucking?
Don't say that. Dude.
I've seen Heat Ghibli art. You know, the movie Heat, but done in Ghibli style. I've done all the Predator.
The whole movie?
No, just like images of it.
Oh,
like,
I was going to say, that's a lot of work, brother.
Like, it's fascinating to see. You know, you can't help.
The whole movie, that would be dope. See, now we want to see it. No, but yeah, it makes sense that Miyazaki obviously would be vehemently opposed to that.
I watched half of Porco Rosso. Never seen it before.
I've never seen that one.
It's fucking good. Michael Keaton as a pig, fighter pilot. who hates fascism. It's good.
Ah, oh, dude.
Oh, hating fascism is so easy, dude. I love fascism. You know what's harder? Being for fascism.
That's what I'm saying. That's more. That's punk rock, dude. Wait, it's the Sneetches fucking bullshit, you know? It's
like, just one factory after the other, bro.
You gotta switch the sides. This adolescent show, I forgot to talk about it last time.
That was the rage for like a good minute.
Dude, well, and it, have you watched it?
No, but I remember the day it came out, I was gonna go to dinner, like a double date. And they were not running late, but they told me, it's like, yeah, sorry, we got caught up. We were fucking sucked into this show called Adolescence. And that was the first time I heard it. It's like, it came out today. And the next day, like, it just, everyone's talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah, and rightfully so. It's one of the, I mean, I don't like doing the hyperbole thing, but, dude, it's one of the better things I've seen streaming-wise, made for streaming this decade. It's 4 episodes, so it's not a huge commitment. Mm-hmm. They're very fucking tightly structured, and each episode is entirely composed in one shot.
Yeah.
And it's not like, this isn't for like technical showmanship, even though anytime they do that, it is that also. Yeah. But it's a way of immersing you in the thing, and it's an ensemble thing, because you're kind of roving around and floating around these different perspectives around this situation, which involves a family. There's no, like, one main character, but a young boy is accused of killing a girl in a fit of rage, and you don't know if it happened or if it didn't. Mm-hmm. And there's a bit of a procedural thing, but there's also a bit of an investigation of, basically, all like, they go into the Andrew Tate type stuff, and a lot of all the, to use the word toxic, but I mean, it is, a lot of the fucking really reactive masculinity stuff, because when people don't have fucking strong male role models that are not total assholes, it tends to produce fucking bad results. But dude, aww. Yeah, well, I mean, no, but it goes about it in a, like, it's not just like men bad. It's like, it's totally like, well, the kids.
Not all men, dude.
Not all men, dude. No, but, well, it goes into that. Like, what's the guy? He's the guy from Snatch.
Yeah, I always forget his name. Yeah, yeah. He played fucking Tommy. Tommy Gunn?
He played Tommy, and he is a co-writer on this. He directs it. He acts in it, plays the dad.
But he directed some of it?
He directs it.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that's like his thing. Okay.
Yeah, and he did a movie, too, like where he plays a chef, which is also done in
everyone's
one
talking. Yeah, everyone's talking about that, too. Yeah.
I want to watch that
He was
now.
Good in Irishman. That was the last time I've seen him in something.
Yeah.
The Irishman.
There's a scene, though, like at the end, which is just totally fucking wrenching, where it gives this thing that, like, because you're trying to see, like, how did this happen? What could have happened? Was it random? And it comes down to the thing that, like, dude, like, boys are going to have to be instructed by men. Like, people, they need other male role models in order for it to produce a certain result. So you could have, like, all these kind of other interventions. But, like, if the dad falls short, you know, like, yeah. It's like a really fucking great show.
They want to start showing it in schools. I think, was it the Prime Minister? The UK wants to start showing it in school.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
No, it's really worth watching.
Okay.
But the White Lotus season finale, I thought this was my favorite season, probably. Damn. Overall.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. That was fun. Have you watched it all?
No, I've only seen season one. I've seen season one, I think, 3 times, and I've never before season 2 ever came out, and I haven't seen 2 or 3.
Yeah, season 2, I was a little like lukewarm on. I can barely remember.
I'm with now. You.
Yeah, it didn't seem to really get it going.
Well, everyone's talking about a monologue with that little guest appearance of
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, everyone's talking about it. I'm avoiding all the spoilers of what he's saying, and I'm like, I feel like I just got to skip to 3 just to get to that.
And he talks about, yeah, what motivated him to get clean and sober, but then like the fucking tables turn.
Interesting.
A lot of table turning in this
nah, season. Dude.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, and then you can't. You've only got that joke 2 more times.
I can't say oh yeah. I can't. Can we use words? Daredevil Born Again. Okay, I was happy about this thing. Mm. Then it did this episode 5 business, which I was talking to one of the listeners on Discord about, you know, and look, episode 5 is a bank heist. I thought it was cool because they get to show his powers, how specific they are. Like, Daredevil has very specific powers. He can't fucking break open a safe. He can't fucking he can't do what things other superheroes have to do. So he has to use his hyper senses and all sorts of shit. But it was totally different than the previous episodes. Then 6 and 7, how they handled this Muse character is just fucking trash, dude.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And then, but thankfully, episode 8 was...
totally redeems itself.
It 40% redeemed. No, no. Well, I mean, they had Benson and Moorhead come back to direct this one. I think this is one of the episodes that was before these infamous reshoots. It's a little better, and one of the things made it a little less contrived. Because there's a character who's a therapist, and it's like, it's Kingpin's therapist, it's Muse's therapist, Daredevil's dating her. Like, is this the only fucking therapist in New York? Like,
it's the only fuckable one, apparently.
Like, don't do this.
Yikes. Okay.
But anyway, that's it, man.
It's like spiritual, I don't even know where I was going with that. Fuck.
Well, hold on to that spiritual thing, because it'll come back.
Okay. Cool. We're gonna be right back. Talk about a movie.
Good. He thought both movies were boring.
So stupid. it's half the movie, dude. Half the book, dude.
It's half the book. Well, it's just like the book then.
Oh, that's
even stupid.
We can't do this joke anymore, though, dude.
Nah,
it's been banned. I thought we were gonna legalize comedy, dude.
What do you mean?
What?
Oh, hey, guess what?
What?
We're banned.
Oh, dude, that's an overused joke if I ever heard one, brother.
Say that with everything.
Fuck.
Saying it's an overused joke is an overused joke.
You
got me, dude. It's
meta, dude. Oh, but it was meta like 15 years ago, so now nothing's meta, so everything's literal, but nothing's literal.
But it's all come all the way back to being meta again.
Fucking bullshit. Just a bunch of bullshit, man. Patreon.com/WhoGoesTherePodcast.
Speaking of bullshit. Bullshit.
Help us do the show.
That's it?
Yeah. Patreon.com. Thank you to the Patreon listeners. Shout out to DJ Ace Ventura doing the good work worldwide. Probably doing hallucinogens, making people dance. He was messaging me that he really fucking enjoyed the year-end episode.
Oh, nice.
Also, he's a big fan of these jokes. He said about the Nosferatu episode.
Oh, no.
He said, there is no R in cock, which was, that's moi, pure poetry at the end of Nosferatu review. And he goes, which was spot on. What a waste of time that fucking movie was.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
See, that's the review.
That's what you want. That's what you want. You just want that.
Yeah.
Send us your details. I'll ship him something out. Yeah.
Oh, yes. I don't know where. I mean, he must be like all over the place. I was looking at like his friends list. You know, it's like porn stars and stuff. I'm like, God damn. That's fantastic. Anyway. Yes.
The Who Goes There podcast watched a little film from 1980 called Altered States, directed by Ken Russell, written by Patty Chayefsky, starring William Hurt, Blair Brown, Bob Balaban,
Bear Grylls,
you fucked me up with that Bear Grylls thing, dude.
Who else does it have? Just read another name.
Charles Haid.
There you go. You're back on.
I'm back in.
Directed by Ken Russell.
Drew Barrymore was in this film also.
Yeah, 2 seconds.
Holy shit, that's right. Wow.
That's right.
That is strange. Based on Patty Chayefsky's novel.
Who I didn't know until one of our little chats outside of post-recording, you told me who Patty Chayefsky, and I went on a deep, dark thing about behind the scenes with this shit. And man,
did you?
There's a lot of lore for this movie.
Well, and see, I know he wrote Network, which I fucking love.
Considered one of the greatest screenplays ever written, some people say.
Dude, I can't recommend that movie enough. Mm. Like, yeah. Fucking, and it's recommended. He's referenced at the end of Raging Bull also. Like, says works of all these writers and stuff. Anyway, what the hell is in this thing? Look at this.
Red is showing off his VHS copy.
His Altered States collection.
Next to his fucking...
We have the laser disc. The
laser disc and the cassette tape for the score, which is fucking, it's really impressive. Fucking John Corigliano.
The sleeve of the laser disc, if you open
the
it up.
The sleeve of Wizard?
Sleeve of Wizard says, "Treat me right. Tips for care of laser discs."
I got a Terminator 2 laser disc.
Do you? Ooh, that's good.
I thought it was the soundtrack vinyl. They put it in the vinyl section, not the laser disc.
Cracked it open, you're like, Jesus Christ.
Well, I can't play this.
Well, it's like, you could still just put it up on the wall.
It does look sick, you know?
So, who's going to go first?
I'll go first.
Do it, man.
Well, have you seen this movie
before? So, let me...
Are you going to dead ringer this shit?
I don't believe I've ever seen...
Okay.
I didn't think so.
...this film. If I was to construct a film, a piece of artwork, a cinema joint that was any more a Rhett thing, I don't think it would be possible. Mm-hmm. This thing runs the gamut. It starts off and it's like, shit, you went there, and it kind of never lets go. And it's kind of fucking crazy. This movie's wild.
Yeah.
I don't want to say whether I like it or not, because like I think we'll extrapolate that as we go along.
Dude, I'll give you my initial reaction to. I saw it for the first time last year around this time because of you, Rhett. You recommended it, and I watched that movie twice in one day. I was blown the fuck away by it. I get totally like what Jorge said. I get this is a very Rhett movie. And
it is the most Rhett movie.
Yeah, I saw the movie three times in one week, and then when we said that we're going to do it for the show, I watched it twice already in the last 24 hours. I really do like this film. I like its writing. It's so fucking nerdy, and it's just this perfect just like mold of Ken Russell's like surrealistic visuals, and then Paddy Chayefsky's fucking just from based off Reputation. I don't know his work that well, but like fucking being a legendary screenwriter, and yeah, holy shit! And you could see this battle on screen because there was a lot of fighting between the two behind the scenes, but you could kind of see it on screen of like the visual storytelling and the writing just clashing together, and. Yeah, there's almost nothing that I hate about this film. I'm very impressed. I could watch this a lot, and I get why you like it.
Patty died like a year after this movie was released.
Yes, people say this movie killed him, and he actually had a heart attack when he wrote the novel.
Holy shit.
Because he wrote the novel, and he literally said, like, I want the movie to be my magnum opus. And he said he only wrote the novel as a blueprint for the film, the screenwriter.
Oh, so he was bummed that creatively he had a different vision.
Because Ken Russell was the 28th choice for this film. This movie was passed up by Kubrick, Spielberg, everyone. Because no one wanted to work with Paddy Chayefsky. Because he had a strict thing where he said... It has to be exactly to my script. No one can fucking go off script.
Like, and so they got a super fucking auteur type guy.
Yeah,
Ken Russell.
And apparently, yeah, Chayefsky was a backseat director, and it was a lot of friction between the two.
Wow.
And Ken Russell was like, "Dude, I did everything you asked for, man." But he wasn't happy. And Chayefsky removed his name off the credits, and he fucking died from a broken heart. People say, which is crazy to think. Like, he had a better movie in mind. Than this, like, that's crazy. He had even something crazier, and that's why Ken Russell sabotaged the movie. He was so fucking tired of this the dialogue, that there's people that are talking with their mouths full of food, there's lots of people talking over each other,
yeah,
and there's a
I like
of
that
it.
Shit
and
that's I was gonna say, like, that just kind of adds to it, right?
It's like
it adds to the frenetic energy of the whole
it
thing
in there, actually naturally really perfect in my opinion, but fucking Chayefsky hated it. Yeah, he hated all of it. And that was like him sabotaging his script and shit.
Well, and it's like, it's such a collaborative fucking medium that this is the kind of, I could see where, as far as for us, it turned out pretty good.
So tell the listeners your love for this film.
The movie fucking sucks, man.
He turns into a monkey, dude.
You're doing a reversal joke right now, dude?
Yeah, dude.
Oh,
no,
dead.
No, yeah, look. No, I appreciate you guys saying that. Like, it is, like, I don't, that sounds fucking pompous. It is one of my favorite things. Because it really is. It really is. There's a guy named John C. Lilly that this is inspired by, mm-hmm. who was a pioneer of consciousness expansion and sensory deprivation in the 60s. He was a contemporary of Timothy Leary and all that. But with, like, you know, sensory deprivation introduces a lot of fucking interesting things, because the idea is we're constantly responding to external stimuli. So everything comes from us interpreting external stimuli, right? And so things become very, it's about what's measurable. Sensory deprivation, when people started messing with it, and really messing, it's not just like going in a dark room. I think by this point, most people have heard of sensory deprivation and know the deal about it. But your mind starts to, they were shocked to find out your mind started producing its own internal stimuli. So this opened up new questions for psychology, for philosophy, for metaphysics, for neurology, all that kind of stuff. But then, of course, you're mixing it with psychedelics and all this kind of stuff. And here's the writer, Paddy Chayefsky. He's like, fucking, this is a great idea for a fucking suspense, sci-fi, horror, drama. Fucking, yeah. I haven't read the book. Now I kind of am like, well, I wonder how this fucking book is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like, this isn't a movie I grew up watching. This is one where you'd see the cover at like Blockbuster every now and then.
Yeah,
it's one that I didn't watch till I was in my early 20s, after I had done LSD and gotten into Tool, dude. Oh. No, but, and then there's a lot of stuff in this movie. There's daddy issues. There's fucking religious symbolism, and
kind of a quasi love story in there too.
Absolutely, yeah. The idea that, like, it, you know, this guy is hopelessly fucking cerebral and mm-hmm. reductive about things, and very, very, like, what's the word? Cavalier about the stuff he's treading into. But also this kind of fearlessness and this curiosity, where he's surrounded by other scientists, and of course other scientists are deriding this shit because they think it's just fucking, it's trash.
Well, I didn't. Well, I do.
His buddy.
That's I do appreciate what? That they were kind of like willing to take it down the scientific method path.
Yeah. Once it got to a certain point, they needed some kind of fucking selling point.
Well, right. Like, you know, your buddy taking psychedelics and tripping out for a couple of times, you're like, okay, whatever. Yeah. But I was kind of into it when they're like, okay, well, now we got this. This has to be repeatable, yeah. And we got to try it with different people, and blah 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 blah. That stuff is all like, yeah, dude,
I'm for in. Sure, absolutely. And it's not like the kind of thing. Like, this is a premise you could easily see being remade and completely fucked up, like, and not doing anything like you mentioned. Right, like going, and you know, and it is nerdy.
Yeah, but if they did a non-research based version, like, yeah. It'd be so fucking bad. Yeah,
no, yeah, definitely, it would be like the butterfly effect or some bullshit. You know what I mean? Like you could do that with this.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You really fucking could. William Hurt, like, he's one of my favorite actors, honestly. Like, I was real fucking, even in supporting stuff, like. He was nominated for fucking supporting actor for like 10-minute role in History of Violence, and I think he deserved it. Mm. You know, even in stuff like The Big Chill, there's a movie called Accidental Tourist. I love how he always just looks vaguely suicidal. No, I'm just kidding. He's in Lost in Space. It's a horrible fucking movie. Anyway, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is his debut.
Yeah.
Fucking film.
He said he loved everything in this script.
Did he?
Yeah, he was obsessed with it.
Yeah, dude, I appreciate you do those deep dives. I haven't done that about this. But yeah, this was a movie that it was very influential for me. It was very inspirational. And I'm not talking about just for doing drugs. What I'm talking about as far as, like, there's a lot of different things to be skeptical about, right? His buddy is skeptical of anything that's not measurable or empirical.
I love how he's got two science buddies. One, they're both supportive, but in two very different ways.
Well, right. One's like an endocrinologist, and he's like, this is stupid because none of it is provable.
Exactly. Which is, like, fair.
Yeah.
But it's not provable. So it shows the value of having this kind of, like, the scientific inquiry into the non-provable. Because there's a lot of things that aren't provable until you start trying to find a way. Nothing's provable until you try to find a fucking process.
Well, what is it that they say? Like, you go back far enough and science was magic or some what's the fucking
I know
quote?
You hate this stuff, but it's indistinguishable from magic.
Yeah, right.
Which is very true. Like, if you know, I mean, fuck, even if we took this back to the 90s, this would blow my fucking mind.
So I want to talk literally about the filmmaking in this thing, because it's bizarre, because it's from 1980. And it's doing stuff in this film that is kind of otherworldly for the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a ton of body horror. It's got some weird ass visuals. I hate to jump to the end, but that whirlpool scene where it's like the galaxy kind of imploding in itself, and you're like, oh, they're just using water.
Yeah.
But it's brilliant what they're doing.
Yeah, because it's like, that's what else are you going to do?
The way it's lit, the way, and it's lit, dude.
It is lit.
brilliant stuff.
Yeah. Like, and then like not the introductory scenes, but I mean, early on in the movie, like it really fucking like gets you. Like it's got kind of a vetting process. Like they have a hallucinogenic sequence where it has like this beast nailed to a cross in the air, which is fantastic.
Well, and
it's
not
just archetypal fucking nightmare
stuff. And not only that, but it goes, so it's weird because the opening scene is jarring, right? Like you see him in the sensory deprivation tank.
Great title card thing, coming fucking horizontal from both sides.
And it's very clinical. He's explaining, he's like, yeah, you know, there's a couple of these tanks left over. And then he goes to this party. But that moment where he opens the door and he's in the doorway in silhouette, it's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, okay, cool. Yeah. I see what you're doing. Then he meets homegirl. And then literally the next scene is them fucking and it's weird.
Yeah.
Like they're like, oh, we're feeding you and you're gonna eat.
Yeah, right now.
Like right this second.
And if you don't like it.
Wrong movie.
You could go. It's like, aren't you going to provide any more context?
Nope.
Like, we told you he's in the fucking tank, and this chick's an anthropologist. So you know what that means? She wants to fuck because she's an anthropologist.
And she's like, what are you thinking about? It's like, Christ.
Yeah, Christ. What is it? Death, God.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. This guy's interesting, you know? There's a part where I just fucking love it too, man. Like, I'm sorry to jump right there, but it's got me thinking about it. He's at a bar with them and they're all partying.
That's my favorite sequence.
And he's ranting about consciousness.
The
primordial self and the Hindus. And it's like, this is fucking fantastic because what Hindus are talking about with Brahma and the self and all this stuff, when the Western intellectuals went over to fucking India and got familiar with all this, what they found, you know, they found not lore. Their religion is much different than this idea of Western stuff, where you have this external god that creates things and is a patriarchal figure. Their freaking idea of divinity is the self. And it's something that got, I mean, it's something I'll still be thinking about, because this idea of self, of I, is not something that you can empirically prove. There's quite a few scientists to this day right now that basically say it's a construct that's created by biochemical reactions. So Jacob is a fiction, like Rhett is a fiction, and we're just... This is like fucking vapor interacting with each other so that the organism can eat and sleep and all this. And that's the most reductive view of it. Even that is fucking crazy, because how are you going to look at that, right? The other option is there's this mystery of what the fucking self is. And that's, I mean, again, this is that movie. This movie is about that. Like... Mm-hmm. And he's like, and I'm going to find the fucker. So his idea of this is very Western. Like, he's like, this is something.
There's something that I can tangibly get to.
Yeah. It's another thing that I'm going to dominate. I'm going to find the self and I'm going to fucking.
I'm going to fuck him.
Like, this has never been attempted before.
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't what the shamans were doing in the caves for thousands of years. Like,
you're the first one that did this, dude.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know.
Well, I think that's my favorite aspect of it, right? Like, because there is moments where it's super self-aware and he's self-aware, but he's like, well, yeah, I get it, man. Like, I'm doing the thing that I'm saying I'm doing.
Right.
even while I'm doing this psycho, you know, this psychotropic
thing. And William Hurt is so good at that fucking attitude.
Also. Yeah, it's fantastic, man. Yeah. It's because I'm watching it and I go, well, obviously, like, the idea that he's going to get to the center of it is garbage.
Yeah.
Right? Because what is it? Like,
which is fun because it shows that it's kind of ineffable, right? Like, so yep. you end up with fucking whirlpools and fucking the universe collapsing on itself and starting over again and collapsing on itself and starting over again, which is what physics says.
And that's not to say that, like, all of this stuff isn't a creation of his own.
Right.
Right? Like,
it's subjective.
Because, he gets to the point where he's able to, like, you know, I guess for lack of a better word, like, cross the stream, right, into where it's not even he's going into the past. He's literally, like, seeing the timeline as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah, so remember Akira where they talk about the amoeba? It's they're comparing the power of Akira to an amoeba. And that each cell has billions of years of cellular memory, right? And so that's where the power, it's basically like if you took an amoeba and had it jump from a microscopic thing to the scale of a human, it's got that kind of destructive potential, right? Because of the billions of years of memory it had in it. So it's a similar idea that's in like in Akira. But yeah, the idea is that he's unlocking cellular memory because your cells... Like, if we're talking about Jorge, yeah, you were born a few years ago, but your cells, nothing can be created or destroyed. It can only change form. And your cells have fucking, we all have an ancient ancestor that's a single-celled fucking organism.
Yeah, we all go way back. I actually got to thinking about, I watched Arrival not that long ago. And it got me thinking about that same sort of thing where, you know, that moment that she realizes that it isn't time travel, but she's experiencing time as, like, a complete chunk.
Yeah, it isn't past.
It's not like future. It's not like forward backwards. She's just the thing. She can just see everything, right?
Yeah.
And I like that aspect of this film because it isn't that he turns into a monkey. That's stupid. It's. That like that part of the thing
of the sequence externalizes.
He's just coming through in that one particular moment.
Yeah.
But then like go forward a little bit, or even go backwards a little bit in the movie, and he's like been eating a goat, and this whole thing. It's like, okay, what are you doing, man?
Yeah. Well, and see, so that part with the monkey thing. Look, besides loving it and all this stuff, do I think it's a perfect movie? No, but it's like it's so.
But it's kind of crazy to think that's, like, the part that, like, that's the least interesting is, like, the part that probably modern, like, audiences at the time were probably looking forward to, the body horror, the transformation sequence.
Right.
And it's like, I think everything else is so fascinating.
You're right. The it's not even a monkey. He's, like, pre-human. Yeah, so it's like...
Trog.
Well, I remember having the impression the first time watching it, I remember it getting to that part and being like, oh, no, is this what this has been leading up to? Like, at least it's a cool way to get there.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, no, it's not staying on this.
Yeah, it's 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's like, I'm like, oh, fuck. And then by the end of it, you know, he's banging a wall trying to, like, manifest fucking being a physical matter because he's getting so fucking jammed up between density and
even
shit.
And even that part was interesting because you could see that they were trying to do like an allegory to television, right? Because like he had that kind of like
staticky,
you know, hitting the TV to get it to like refocus.
That's an interesting. Because it's a frequency.
Yeah, so they're doing all kinds of stuff at the end there, where like when she touches him and she turns into like primordial lava. Yeah. Whatever the fuck she turns into.
Oh, yeah, and it's fucking, she's like Hellraiser fucking
shrinking limbs and
stuff. Yeah, and he's, you know, he knows he has to kind of like reset himself to be able to affect the current timeline, as it were, right? That stuff is really cool to me, like, because it's like, they didn't do anything with television, but you knew what they were doing about television.
Because you, instinctively.
Yeah.
Instinctively.
It is of the time.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's literal, too. I mean, to me, it's frequency, right? Like, the television is a device where it catches a frequency, and then it organizes the information, into a certain image or form.
Do you like Willy Wonka, dude?
I love Willy Wonka.
It's fucking, it's him fucking traveling, dude. What do you mean? Mike TV, bro. Oh,
I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
The frequency, dude.
I love his buddy, though, where he's like, God damn it, Jessup, you are a fucking flake. You know, he's getting so pissed.
Mason, yeah. Dude, he hates them both, dude. It's crazy. Yeah. I love that for him.
Yeah. Well, and also, though, he's the voice of reason later on where it's like, hey, this is fucking going sideways, dude.
Yeah.
Like, this is bad. This is bad news. So, I mean, it shows the value of that perspective, I think.
I do appreciate the fact that homegirl, when, you know, she's witnessed this thing, right? This, like, unbelievable event, right? And it isn't, she isn't fascinated by it. What she is disappointed that he loves that thing more than her.
Right.
And it's crazy because you're like, bitch, you just witnessed a miracle. Right, basically.
Yeah, well, she's jealous, but she still loves him no matter what. Loves that about him. She loves his weirdness. She calls him a Faust freak, you know, and that seeing that emotional struggle with his pursuit. Yeah.
Well, even that, like, lines like that are great too, because before, like, when Horia mentioned this was indistinguishable to magic, before, like, sorcerers and alchemists and all the black magicians and people conjuring demons and, like, King Solomon, the modern analog of that is not one of those guys. It would be a scientist who's doing parapsychology or investigating theoretical physics or really trying to unlock the secrets of the universe with the modern mental models. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be about using the old archaic ones. It's the same secrets, but it's a totally different process, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he is a Faust freak. He's a modern fucking, like, sorcerer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, how so? It's like, well, like, shamanism, the whole idea of going inward and the inward, like, journey and everything, that's an ancient thing. It's not, like, something that happened in the fucking 60s. Like, it wasn't like the fucking hippies made it up.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's like the first, it's the birth, to me, I'm sorry, it's the birth of, like, of higher thought. Because, I mean, sure, if you're going to make tools and engineer and do all that stuff.
Tool, dude.
It's going to have to, I mean... If you're going to go past the fucking chimpanzees, like, you're going to have to start contemplating things on a different level. And I do think, like, did you ever see The Bear?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, there's a part where the little bear, and I remember that affected me as a kid, where he eats magic mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And he fucking... He trips out. And I started thinking, like, wait a minute, this happens. And also, this has done a lot for the perception of fucking organisms. Like, particularly mammals and, you know... animals with different kinds of cognitive faculties, because it got them to begin imagining and perceiving the world in ways that were beyond their five senses. It's like, well, they're hallucinations. It's like, yeah, well, those hallucinations are subjective experiences. So it doesn't matter, like, oh, they weren't real. It's like, yeah, well, they had the subjective experience on a biochemical level that's going to fucking alter things.
Yeah.
Over enough time. Anyway, this is really nerdy, but man, like... It started connecting, like, the dots for a bunch of stuff. Do you think this is a horror movie?
Yeah.
How so? It has a happy ending, dude.
Does it, though, dude?
I think so. I think so because he starts to realize... I mean, it is kind of like an interstellar-type thesis that he comes to understand something that was very immediate that was he was alluding. Like, the connection with another human being. Like, love. It's fucking dope.
You know what I got to thinking? I got to thinking he never left the tank from the opening scene.
Oh, that's very Black Mirror of you.
It is, dude.
Well, that's Inception, too. Like, maybe he didn't.
You know? Damn, you just mentioned Black Mirror and Inception.
Well, dude, it's all about levels of fucking cognitive distortion.
When I do this to you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm dead. Oh.
That's fucking dope.
That's too much. I did that the other day to somebody, and they were like, what the fuck are you doing, nerd? And I was like, fuck you, dude.
Is that Tenet?
Fuck you, dude.
What? This is Tenet?
Yeah, dude, that's Tenet.
What the fuck are you talking about?
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was going to say, what the hell?
Oh, there he goes, dude.
He's tripping out, dude. He's blitzed, homie. Oh.
How'd they do that? This movie... I'm trying to get Sophia to watch this one, but I don't know.
They probably gave him actual LSD, dude.
Back then, altered states. Wait,
the bear.
Oh, the bear.
It's a good
like idea. The show.
No, no, it's not, a movie. No, it's no. a movie.
Dude. I was like, what the fuck are you
it's
talking
a movie
about?
Told from the point of view of a fucking little
bear a little cub. A little homie.
Is it a documentary?
No.
No, dude. And look, he eats magic mushrooms and he's like, fuck.
I'm His stoned. Parent gets killed.
I'm stoned.
In an accident.
Look at him, look at him, look at him. Look at him, look at him, look at him.
And then he gets kidnapped by fucking humans and yeah, dude, it's a great movie.
Yeah, bro.
Have you seen Sasquatch Sunset?
No.
No, dude, I would never.
But I'll watch it. But no, this gets me because it's like, it's super profound, but very simple. And it's just like the real world.
Yeah.
You know? You know. However, things like whatever reality is and what is not, perception is its own thing, and everyone looks out their own window.
I did have a little bit of issue.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm saying. What are the issues?
I did have a little bit of issue when they hit Mexico. And it's like, you know what? We don't know anything about this culture. We're going to throw a little bit of Mesoamerican. We're going to throw some African. Mm. There's definitely some African culture in here that shouldn't be anywhere near this shit. But like, are you gonna tell me it's all interconnected anyways, dude? Because of the fabric and the
no,
bed?
No, I'm not gonna.
But it's it.
Don't fuck around like that. Don't fuck like that.
It's the mycelium, dude. Because like, you know, like this part in Mexico is connected to this part in Africa, so of course they share fucking.
It reminds
cultural
me of a,
shit.
There was a fucking dude named Carlos Castaneda. He's an anthropologist who went down to Mexico to study these people called the Yaqui.
Yamanaki.
The Anazaki. The fucking they.
Yeah,
they,
keep going.
But
yeah.
the Yaqui sorcerers and all this, they trip out on mezcalito, and they commune with what they call the inorganic beings from other dimensions.
Totally.
So he went down there as an anthropologist and came back like, hey, this shit's real. Because he'd spent a long time back down there.
Dude, how do you think every society came up with pyramids without actually communicating with each other? Dude, like, how?
That's
dude?
I'm not doing that. I do love that scene, though, by the way, like what you're talking about. Because here's the thing. There are indigenous populations. There still are. And there are people not too far from us that barely leave a cave and spend most of their situation in there doing that.
No, I like that part.
That's
I just
fucking dope.
I just don't like the weird mixing.
They're homeless,
up of,
dude.
What?
They're homeless, dude. Mm. They're fucking losers. What's their 401? What's their credit score, dude? See what I mean? Like, made all that shit up, dude. He doesn't even know what you're talking about. He's too busy fucking exploring the nature of self.
He's too busy tripping balls.
That's bro. What. Well, that's what we'd call it, but he's like fucking living a holy.
He's
living a holy existence. Like, he's like never leaving the source.
The homie, the brujo? Is that what you're talking about, dude?
Yeah, with a fucking eye, and he's like, blah, blah, blah. Man,
it's oh, like, no, that's not the brujo, dude. Oh. That's the other bang, bang.
And they fucking, dude, that's a great scene. They cut his finger. And before you know
it. And he acts all offended about it. It's like, bro, what'd you think was going to happen?
Well, he's being a Western bitch, which is a little bit like, okay, you're laying it on thick here. With
I was like, I thought you were down, dude.
Yeah, you ain't, dude, you are not down,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, he's all, ah. It's like, dude,
oh, what are you doing? It's like, oh. What
like,
you,
oh, okay. I'm
like, dude, if they tell you to suck his dick, you better suck his dick.
Yeah, you know? Suck
all the way down there. You fucking separated your wife to come down here.
Dude, he acts like an idiot when they're like, we got to cut your hand. He's like, what, dude?
I divorced my wife for what, this?
Whatever do you mean you're going to cut my hand? And then I got to drink it? What?
Yeah. But then, it has like the biggest sequence yet at that point. He sees the blood on his hands, and then it's like fucking stars coming out
and
of it.
And there's a fucking lizard.
And there's a fucking lizard, man. You look like a fucking lizard.
He sees his wife as a lizard.
Which is dope.
And then, yeah, and then she's like perched, and then like all this time goes by, and you see how it's like a mountain, and it's just like all the forms are like melding
well,
into each other.
That was the moment where, when I first saw it, where I'm like, okay, I gotta look up this director. I wanna watch like everything he's done.
And then you watch The Devils, right?
Yeah, that's the only one I've seen.
I still haven't seen it.
And it's considered one of his best. And yeah, it's his visual style is fucking crazy.
Yeah, and then when we talk about, all three of us are fans of editing, which makes sense for a movie. But the editing in this is great. The sound design, like, you know, sparks. It's something simple like sparks, but it has these popping noises.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, and jerking around.
And Ken Russell knows, like, he might be losing some audience with, like, dialogue. So he's like, how do I punch it up in another way? He's like, the visuals, the sound design. Like, yeah. Yeah. He's really captivating.
Yeah. And that's like, oh, there's little fucking two. There's little parts with this that convince me very clearly that Ken Russell, and it's not surprising, is probably very experienced with fucking hallucinogens too. Meaning like the overall tone and atmosphere of these scenes. Like they move in a certain way. Like in that sequence, there's a scene where he's witnessing like a fucking huge explosion and they're sitting under the fucking umbrella with the lizard thing. And then like you see him look up at the camera and he's like looks very like
this. He goes,
yeah, yeah. And then there's another one where he looks kind of pissed off and then he's like biting the lizard. And like all of that is just like, yeah, you're doing the thing.
Well, even little even little moments where like you see he's showing you like, oh, the destruction of an fucking atom.
Right.
An atom bomb. And then in that same scene, it's the rocks that look like the atom bomb formation and you're like, "Oh fuck, you're like you're fractals. You're an artist, man."
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No, for sure. Yeah. He's like, it's like a collage.
What I'm trying to say is this movie fucks.
Is that what you're saying? It does, yeah. But the monkey thing.
You don't like it.
Well, like I said, I'm glad it didn't stay with it. But I like what it's saying that. I mean, they go far with it. It externalizes to the point where his bone structure changes momentarily.
Well, they have a different actor even playing the guy, obviously. I mean, that's pretty obvious.
You're saying that. Yeah, dude, the first couple times he was like screaming as a monkey, I'm like, that's Rhett right there.
Yeah.
He's fucking Blanca. He's doing the Blanca thing. And there's sequences where he's doing like the parkour shit, and like you can tell because it's like not a close-up shot. Like it's a stunt actor with like furry pants on. Like, it's literally just pants.
Yeah.
Well, that's a reference to Pan, dude.
Even his explanation of that time when he's like, I felt out of control, but still enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed the rawness
of it. He said it was the best moment of his life or something like that. Yeah, it's crazy.
Can you imagine, like, being, like, unbridled by, like, societal, like, what do you mean I can't fucking gut this goat and eat its entrails?
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
Because that's... I think you nailed it earlier. That is in you.
Yeah.
Like, it's in a certain layer of your brain. It's in a certain layer of your cellular memory.
Wait, he explains it, right? He's like, I was just led by natural instincts to eat, drink, and sleep. That was it.
Beautifully simple.
Amazing.
Right? And then the sleep, he said, was just like, so it's this pure sleep. It's this, because it's primal, right? But primal has these connotations to a human being. But it's like, primal is like, it's innocent. Like, it's completely pure. Like, there's no, like, right or wrong. There's no morality.
Oh,
there is no, like, yeah.
Speaking of which, can I tell you how fucking, that scene where he's fucking with the elephants, like, the literal actor. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, this was close to being, like, dangerous.
Yeah.
Because he slapped an elephant. And I go, what the fuck is happening here, man?
Yeah, that scene goes on for a minute. Yeah,
it's crazy. Like, he's drinking at a water fountain kind of thing. And the elephant kind of gives him some shit. And then he slaps the elephant in the trunk. And I go, this has to be the 80s because they didn't give a shit about...
Like, do they actually break into a zoo, right? Yeah.
It's fucking crazy, man.
And another highlight, too, of course, is the makeup effects. Dick Smith did it. This guy is one of the most like legendary makeup effects artists. A lot of people from the 80s, like Rob Bottin and stuff, and Rick Baker, like, owe everything to him. He was like the most legendary guy in the 70s and early 80s. And he did The Godfather. He did The Exorcist. He did Altered States. And The Exorcist and then a lot more in Altered States, he invented the bladder technique, which is like the bulging skin.
Stuff up here.
Yeah, that was really good.
He invented that effect, and it was first used in The Exorcist when Reagan had like the demon come out of her throat and it started enlarging.
And the neck.
And then he used it a bunch in Altered States, and then it took off in the 80s. You know, everyone started using that effect. Dick Smith did like, I think he did Scanners also. So he's like legendary special effects artist, and this was like one of his like biggest highlights of his career.
Dude.
That fucks.
Have you ever had that experience that you have where, like, You'd turn on the light and it's just like some chick in a bed, but you turn it off and it's like fucking lava.
You ever had that, dude?
You ever had that, dude?
No, mine is the opposite.
Dude, that's so fucking awesome.
Where I see the lava and I click on the lights and it's my wife, shit, dude.
No, it's like, that's a really good dramatization of his problem right there. Like, that's a lot to deal with.
The Letterboxd reviews were fun. One of them was like, I think it gave him like four stars, but like, man, men will do anything but say I love you. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, yeah. It's just like, dude, just give up the fucking, it's so ego-driven,
And again, I know we've talked about this numerous times, but like, he clearly has undiagnosed autism, right? Like, this is one of those things where like, as we get further on in our lives, we're like, well, okay, this shit is just like undiagnosed.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it becomes clearer as time goes by. Like, oh shit.
Oh no, we're just making fun of people because they're dumb. No, it's actually, he's sick.
Yeah. Well, there's something off with the frequency and he's trying to make it work. Right. And he's like, but that's going to get you to a place that not everyone goes to. Might not be a good place for everyone to go to, but it's going to be different. You do
well, at least market, right?
Go ahead.
Like, it's, again, it's hard for me to think of it just the movie, but the movie, though, I remember I could tell it's based on a book a little bit because the way it moves through time, they have kids.
Seven years passed by.
Gonna say, I love that contrast of them finding him, you know, accepting the love and falling in love, and then it skips and you're like, oh, they have kids, it's good, and then you just find out, oh, they're actually separating. Like, it's that contrast, it's devastating.
It's the same thing I mentioned last episode when we were talking about give me the movie
last episode,
Christopher Walken.
Oh, dead fuck zone. Yeah, the Dead Zone,
when they just skip time. They just skip 5 years and they're like, here's 5 years that just passed by. Yeah. Like, they don't, like, they're not trying to be like, and then they had kids. And then
there's no montage.
And then their marriage kind of fell apart because they were arguing in the bedroom. Yeah. And they, you know.
Both movies nail that shit.
His monkey fucking is probably, she's over it a little bit, but like, she really kind of loves it. You know, you don't, it's just like, they're getting a divorce.
No, that's a good fucking insight that she does. Like, what she loves about him is also what breaks her heart about him.
Yep. Right?
Because it keeps him at a distance from her. It necessarily
women
keeps him at a distance.
Women do be judging.
Well, yeah. And I think that's interesting, too. Like, you'd think she would understand, right? She's an anthropologist. But it like, when I watch it, it's kind of like, yes, but not really. She's like, yeah, but love me. It's like, where's the fucking anthropology? Like, aren't you a scientist? And she's like, yes, but no. Like,
yeah, but like,
not for real.
But my emotions, though.
Yeah, but my emotions, though. And he's like, oh, that's fucking like,
that's cute.
That's biochemistry. And it's like,
yeah,
but it's my experience. And it's like, yeah, well, it's just chemical reactions.
I like how he said, do you want me to change? Like, he's like, because she's like, am I really weird in bed?
And should I change?
And she's like, no, I like that. And I'm like, damn.
Like, no, you don't. You just want to have kids with him for his seed. That's all she was using him for, his fucking seed. What
what kind of leftist nightmare is this?
Yeah, what kind of loving relationship is this? No, but then
well, yeah, even those like little moments where you're like, yeah, I see that even in my own like marriage, where it's like,
yeah,
the shit that you put up with and the shit that you tolerate, and I don't mean me, I mean like my wife. Like, the stuff that's kind of endearing about you could ultimately be kind of like poisonous to the relationship.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know.
You know, like being up at 2 a.m. watching stupid-ass movies.
That's what I'm talking, yeah.
And sleeping on the couch.
It's like, self-disclosure, but it's like fucking classic indulgence for this show. Like, this is not going to surprise you, Jorge. You know me long enough. Like, I've had the experience a lot of the time, what a girl will like about me at the beginning of a relationship is like, she absolutely does not like about me by the end of it.
Yeah.
Because she thinks it's like a bit. Like, she thinks it's just like, it's like, no, this is like a big bulk of the thing. Like, it's going to be a lot of the thing you're interacting with.
This is
with.
A whole lot of this. Like, yeah.
I'm not talking about like personnel, but the interests. Like, it's like, it's not just like, oh, that's just like something he's into. It's like, no, this is like fucking pretty much an all day, fixation like on this situation, dude. And no, that can exhaust people. So you know, it does help to fucking well, it's like the movie. You got to just get down to earth and like fucking be a human being. Like Maynard says, dude, and to still be a human, dude, you know.
In that one Pussifer song.
In Lateralist, dude. Can't talk about that.
Is that the one with Mia Jovovich?
Why is, dude, when I found out he was...
Did you say Mia?
Jovovich? Isn't it her name?
It's Mila.
Is it? It's two L's.
This band had me so fucking, like, gaslighted when I was younger in the early 2000s. When I found out, like, he was friends with Mila Jovovich, I was like, why? Like, why would he be friends with her? She makes bad movies, you know?
And then he does the fucking, he does the Underworld soundtrack, and I'm like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah. Well, and then he was on like the Constantine soundtrack.
Yes, he was.
And I'm like, right. This is not a good enough movie for this song to be in it. But then I realized, oh, they're just another band. Wow. It was hard. It's hard for me to wrap my head around. Altered States.
Aw, beating on the fucking desk, dude.
Fuck. Okay, so in terms of like body horror, like science, you know, mad scientist kind of movies, do you like this film more than The Fly? I feel like that's an easy comparison. That's like the go-to comparison. Me? Yeah,
The Fly is better.
No,
League's better in terms of like filmmaking.
If you're talking about, yeah, I'll answer it two ways, because that's fucking dope. No, I'm just kidding. No, but. As body horror, no. The Fly is probably is like the peak body horror film. That I mean, and I don't want to go into that, but as far as a psychological thriller, I mean, this is more. Yeah, I think the body horror in this is fucking great. I think it's great. Yeah. As far as a film, I'm kind of in agreement with Jorge. I think The Fly is one of the tighter films in that genre. I mean, just pound for pound, scene for scene.
Okay, yeah. Like, and you know, this movie too, Chayefsky with his buddies, they like came up with the story like in a bar or something. And in Altered States is Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. It's their remake of it.
Yeah, dude, like freaking, I was reading this. I had never even opened this freaking VHS copy. And it has, that's what it says right here. It says, from the author of Network, the harrowing story of a modern-day Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Oh, shit.
And that makes a lot of fucking sense. Well, because Mr. Hyde is like, it's the suppressed, it's the id, dude. But,
this is a...
What?
This is an unplayed copy of this movie, dude.
It's worth $5,000.
Where'd you pick that up, that VHS tape?
I think, I'm almost certain it was... I don't think it was reanimated. I think I got it online.
Nice.
Yeah, this was reanimated though.
Oh, okay.
The laser disc.
The fact that this fucking thing says digitally processed is crazy.
It is. It's an analog thing that's digitally processed. They were doing it, dude. They were getting there. Is that what that means, Jorge? God, what do you think, Jacob?
Things, what? Man.
About this as far as.
Oh, I almost like this more than The Fly.
Yeah,
I'm so like I also want to read the book.
I don't know that I don't like it more.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, you choose. Like, I think the Fly is better. This movie does have its points where it kind of falters, maybe with like the simian troglodyte shit, you know, for a moment. But it's good. Yeah, people said like it's a comedy. Some people categorize this film as a comedy, like when it came out.
Well,
like,
I mean,
this misinterpreted it was.
Yeah, I'm never mad at like at that. Yeah. You know, when a horror movie or some or psychological thriller also makes people laugh.
Yeah, this guy's a fucking gorilla. You know.
Yeah, this guy's a gorilla. The doctor says that. Yeah, when you talk about The Fly, like there's stuff in the, you know, fucking Cronenberg gets to these ideas in a different way. Yeah. He's not overt about it the same way like he is with body horror, but. There's a part in The Fly where he says, I'm starting to believe, or something like, I'm paraphrasing, that I was a fly who had a dream of being a man, and now I'm waking up. And so, like, that's like, and I watched that movie several times before really digesting that, but it means his consciousness is shifting. It's not like I'm watching it as a human being, so I'm like, oh, he's turning into a fly, and Cronenberg's reversing it. He's like, no, the fly's perspective is just as viable. This fly had a dream he was a human, and now he's forgetting that dream, and he's just going into full fucking fly. And, like, that's very similar to this kind of thing, what it's saying, and in a really nightmarish way, because he's surrendering to it because he has no choice, like, because it's rapidly evolving. But, like, that's a horrific psychological idea. And it's kind of just kind of lost in the movie because people are just looking at him spitting up on the donut and shit, you know? But it's like, yeah. Well, no, which is fucking, I get it, but it's like the psychological parts of it are kind of like, not ignored. But you don't hear people talk about it as much.
Yeah.
You hear people talk about her giving birth to a fucking larva, which is dope.
Yeah. I think they definitely complement each other pretty well.
Yeah.
I think they both have what the other one may lack, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
What are we doing next?
What are we doing next?
I don't know. We're going to have to talk about it.
Yeah, there's some movies coming out. There's some shows. Last of Us airs this Sunday. We got Black Mirror.
Sinners.
Sinners is coming out, which is surprisingly getting good reviews. It's which is
very good.
I'm happy about it. I wasn't sure if it was going to be one of those, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Get you Sinners.
Sinners. Especially in this climate. It's important. Never mind.
In this political climate.
In these times. It's important.
Year of our Lord.
That we support filmmaking.
Yeah.
Where'd you guys watch this?
Here.
No, I mean, where'd you stream it?
Amazon.
Did you have to rent it?
Yes.
Okay.
I got it on Plex, my Plex.
Prix. Dude.
All right. Well, that's Altered States for episode 435. Sheesh. Go watch it. Or don't go watch it. Just stay home and watch it.
Yes.
Stay away from the theaters while Minecraft is still playing.
Jesus Christ. I do kind of want to go see it. Now that I'm curious. It'll be like Altered States. Like, fucking, damn. You know?
It kind of is.
I could see that.
It kind of is, dude.
It's fucking fever dream shit.
Well,
especially because I never played the game. So I'll just be like, what the fuck?
Like, fully hating something while everyone around you loves it is something else.
That was me watching Transformers Dark of the Moon. Like, I was just like, holy shit. Yeah. This is surreal. Like,
it's so forced with the dialogue, I'm sure, with Minecraft. You're like, okay, that's obviously a reference to something I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a reference.
Yeah. Oh, dude, like, Jack Black does 20 minutes of, like, info dump where he's like, this is a crafting table. It's like, whoa.
And everyone's like, yeah!
It is a crafting table, and that's a sword, and that's diamond armor. Oh, shit!
That's fucking
bad. It's crazy, dude.
Hmm.
Yeah. But I will say the literal, like, world is beautiful. Like, the Minecraft world that they made.
What do you mean?
Like, the actual, like, blocky world is nice.
Yeah, the CGI world. The movie got leaked online already to download, and it's, like, the unfinished, like, with, like, shitty CGI.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
The strings and stuff are still attached, all the strings. Yeah.
You always make good faces.
You do that good, man. Some fucking
he does Blanca, do that Blanca dude. Ass shit, man. All right, this is Rory signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is Ree.
Bye, idiots. And you know what, dude? If you want to write your shitty little ass reviews, at least give me a 1-star. Don't give me this 2-star bullshit.
Yeah, fucking commit.
Commit to the bit.
They gave it 2 stars for you guys.
The minus 3 was for you?
Yeah, that's like, what that's, there's only 3 of us, so at least you could have, like, so it's 5, hold up, it's 5 stars possible.
Right.
There's 3 people.
Right.
That means each person is responsible for about
a star and a third.
Yeah, so what the fuck? Like, dude, I'm only, like, you should still be giving it, like, 3.5.
Right.
The fucking get serious.
Yeah.
You haven't even watched Altered States.
Bye, idiots.
Bye, Sophia.
Thank you.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'm
never get out of this world alive.